The reading is from the Lives of Saints, October 12th, New Style, and September 29th, Old Style. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The life of our holy monastic father, Ciriacus the Hermit, which was written by Kirill, a monk of the Lavra of St. Euthymius the Great. The venerable Ciriacus was from Corinth. He was the son of John, a presbyter of the cathedral of that city, and of Eudokia. He was born at the end of the reign of Theodosius the Younger, and was a relative of Peter the Bishop of Corinth. He fervently studied the Holy Scriptures from morning until night, and through the night until morning, marveling at how from the beginning God had ordered all things to serve for man's salvation, and how he deemed worthy of great honor all who pleased him in every generation. Thus did he glorify Abel, because of the sacrifices he offered. Likewise he glorified Enoch, who pleased him, by translating him into paradise. He preserved Noah, the spark from which the human race came forth, unharmed amid the waters of the flood. Abraham he made a father of many nations because of his faith. Upon Melchizedek he bestowed the most honorable priesthood. Joseph he magnified for his chastity. He gave Job to the world as a model of patience. Joshua, of Nun, he permitted to halt the course of the sun and the moon. And David he made a prophet, a king, and the forefather of the blessed Theotokos. He turned the flame into dew for the three youths in the Babylonian furnace. Ciriacus especially marveled as he meditated upon the seedless conception of Christ, his ineffable nativity, and upon how a virgin became a mother, while still preserving her virginity. He meditated on how God the Word became man without undergoing change, conquering Hades by the cross, trampling down the serpent, the deceiver, and bringing Adam back up into paradise. The blessed Ciriacus considered these things and read the lives of many saints, and as a result his spirit was set aflame, and his heart filled with the fear of God. Therefore, as he longed to emulate those who had lived in a virtuous manner, he resolved to go to the holy city of Jerusalem, and there to renounce the world, and labor for God alone. One Sunday, as he was reflecting upon these things, Ciriacus went to church and heard Christ's words read from the Holy Gospel. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He understood these words to apply to himself, and he left the church at once, without telling anyone of his intention. He went to the harbor where he found a boat about to sail for Palestine. Placing his hope in God, he boarded it and set sail. The youth Ciriacus was 17 years old then. When, like a second Jacob, he left his father's home, having forsaken everything for God's sake. Soon he arrived in Jerusalem, where Anastasius was then bishop, it being the 8th year of his episcopate and the 9th year of the reign of the Emperor Leo. After Ciriacus had visited the holy places, he went to a man of God named Eustorgius, who had founded a monastery near Holy Zion. Eustorgius received him, and Ciriacus spent the winter there, observing the monks at their labors. He himself began to struggle in monasticism, ascending step by step to the summit of the life of virtue. While living there, he heard much of St. Euthymius, who had built a lavra in the desert, and of his perfect manner of life. Ciriacus asked the blessed Eustorgius to allow him to go to the lavra of Euthymius, for he loved the desert and wished to live there. After instructing him, praying and bestowing his blessing upon him, Eustorgius sent Ciriacus to the venerable Euthymius. Euthymius received him lovingly, foreseeing the gifts of God which were to be revealed in him. After a short time, he closed him in the schema with his own hands and sent him to the Jordan to St. Gerasimus, for the blessed Theotistus had already gone to the Lord. Seeing that St. Ciriacus was young, Gerasimus told him to live in the Cenobitic monastery and to toil in obedience. Ciriacus showed himself to be prepared to undertake every form of labor. He worked in the kitchen, cutting firewood, carrying water, and preparing food. He fulfilled every obedience with thanksgiving, exhausting his body and giving himself no rest, either by day or by night. During the day he worked fervently for the monastery, while at night he stood in prayer, sleeping but very little. He partook only of bread and water and fasted every second day. When on feast days he permitted himself a little wine in accordance with the custom, he first added to it a considerable amount of water. Likewise he put bitter anise into his oil. The godly Gerasimus marveled, seeing Kyriakos' strict obedient abstinence at so young an age, and came to love him greatly. Now it was the habit of St. Gerasimus during Great Lent to go into the depths of the wilderness, called Ruva, where the venerable Euthymius stayed for a time. Since St. Gerasimus loved the blessed Kyriakos on account of his great abstinence, he took him with him. When they stayed in Ruva, Kyriakos partook of the holy mysteries from Gerasimus's hands. They remained in silence in the wilderness until the Sunday of the entrance of the Lord into Jerusalem, after which they returned to the monastery, their souls much profited it. After a time, our holy father Euthymius reposed. The godly Gerasimus learned of his death while sitting in a cell, when he saw God's angels joyously ascending into heaven with the soul of the venerable Euthymius. Gerasimus took Kyriakos at once and went to the lava of Euthymius to bury his honorable body, and then returned to his cell with his beloved disciple Kyriakos. 9 years after Kyriakos arrived in Palestine, the great saint of God, Gerasimus, was translated from this world to the world that is eternal. Kyriakos returned to the lava of the venerable Euthymius, where he had received the angelic schema from the saint's holy hands at the beginning of his life as a monk. At that time, the abbot of the lava was Elias. Kyriakos asked him for a cell apart, where he began to live in silence. The saint was then 27 years of age. He became friends with a monk named Thomas, a great ascetic whose manner of life was perfect. They were both full of the grace of the Holy Spirit and grew to love each other greatly. But they were not to enjoy one another's companionship for long. However, for by God's providence, they were separated in the following way. The blessed Thomas was sent to Alexandria by Phidias the deacon to purchase supplies needed by the monastery. He bore with him a letter from the bishop Martyrius to Timothy, Archbishop of Alexandria. When Thomas went to the archbishop to deliver the letter, the archbishop detained him, for he perceived the grace that was in Thomas. He then ordained him and sent him to Ethiopia. Thomas enlightened the whole of that land and worked many signs and marvels, shepherding well the flock entrusted to him. Kyriakos, deprived of his good friend, began to live in the most profound silence and dwelt as a recluse in a cell, as if entombed in a sepulchre, conversing with God alone. He remained in that monastery 10 years and was ordained a deacon. During that time, the monasteries of Euthymius and Theotistus shared a common rule of Cenobitic life, and both kept the statues of the great Euthymius. But the enemy, stirred up strife between the two monasteries, and they were separated by enmity. St. Kyriakos was grieved by the breach between the monasteries, and he left his community and went to the monastery of Suka, which the godly Sheraton had established and built. There he was received as a beginner, and passed through the various obediences during the course of 4 years. He labored in the bakery and the infirmary, and he served all the fathers. After 4 years he was permitted to serve in the altar as a deacon. And after another 3 years, when he was 40 years old, he was made a presbyter. He was also made canonarch and continued in that obedience for 18 years. Although he remained in the monastery of Suka for more than 30 years, he himself testified that during the time he was canonarch, the son never saw him eat or angered with anyone. He likewise said that every evening when he stood at prayer in his cell, he read the entire Psalter, finishing it before the Samandran was struck for the midnight office. Since he desired a more severe manner of life, Kyriakos departed to the desert when he was 70 years old. He took one disciple with him and walked for many days until he reached the wilderness called Natufa, where he settled. Having nothing with which to feed himself, because the herbs that grew in that wilderness were very bitter, he prayed to God, trusting in his compassion. He said to his disciple, "Go, child, and gather bitter herbs and boil them. Blessed is the omnipotent God who shall feed us with such herbs." The disciple did as the saint had told him, and God, who nourishes all those who hope in him, made sweet the bitter herbs. Saint Kyriakos and his disciple ate them for 4 years. When the fourth year had passed, a man who was a high official from Tekoa heard of him from shepherds who watched their flocks in the desert where Kyriakos dwelt. The man loaded an ass with bread and went to the saint to receive a blessing and to benefit from his prayers, bringing with him the bread. After praying, Kyriakos told him many things salutary for his soul, and then sent him on his way with a blessing. From that time on, the saint and his disciple ate the bread that he brought. Once this disciple boiled some herbs without being told to do so by his blessed elder. When he tasted them, he found them to be unbearably bitter. So acrid were they that he lost his voice. The elder perceived the cause of his loss of speech, prayed for him, and communed him with the most pure mysteries, thus healing his infirmity. Moreover, Kyriakos upbraided him, saying, "God does not always wish to work miracles, but only when we suffer extreme misfortune or want. When we had no bread, God made sweet the herbs, that we might eat them. What need is there now of this miracle, when we have bread?" After a time the bread was consumed, and again there was a lack of food. The elder said to the disciple, "Child, blessed is God, gather herbs and boil them." The disciple did that which he had been commanded, but when the time came for supper, he did not wish to eat, for he feared that he would again suffer harm. Then the elder made the sign of the cross over the boiled herbs, and himself ate first. After this, the disciple, having seen the elder eat, dared to taste of the herbs. They both remained unharmed and found the herbs to be as sweet as the ones they had eaten before. Thereafter, they continued to sustain themselves with those herbs. After the blessed Kyriakos had dwelt in the wilderness for 5 years, another man from Tekoa heard of him and brought to him his son, who was cruelly tormented by a demon at every new moon. He begged the saint to have compassion on his son and to expel the evil spirit that tormented him. Kyriakos prayed and made the sign of the cross over him, anointing him with oil. The demon was driven out, and the man returned home with his son, healed, proclaiming the miracle to all. Word of the saint spread throughout the region, and many began to come to him, some to receive a blessing, others seeking healing, others to converse with him and to be profited thereby. The people troubled him greatly, and so he fled into the inner desert of Ruva in order to escape human glory. He remained there 5 years, eating the roots of a plant called Melagria and the tender shoots of rushes. But his presence there became known, and the faithful brought to him their sick and their suffering from unclean spirits. He healed them all by the sign of the cross and prayer. Because the people disturbed the saint's beloved silence, he left Ruva and settled in a hidden and desolate place where no anchorite had ever lived. The place was called Susakim, and it lay more than 50 miles from the monastery of Sukha. Once 2 deep rivers coursed there, but later they dried up and only 2 ravines remained. Some say that these were the rivers of Etham, concerning which David says to God in the Psalms, "Thou hast dried up the rivers of Etham." Kyriakos remained there 7 years, leading an angelic life. Then, with God's consent, there was a famine and pestilence in those lands. And the fathers of the Lavra of Sukkah, fearing the wrath of the Lord, went to St. Kyriakus and begged him to come to their monastery, for they believed that if St. Kyriakus dwelt among them, God's anger would be averted. And so it came to pass. The godly Kyriakus went to the Lavra in accordance with the brethren's request, and settled in a hermit's cave near the monastery where our venerable father Sheridan had dwelt. At that time, the heresy of Verrazian was spreading, and St. Kyriakus took upon himself great labors to uproot this delusion. By prayer and exhortation, he destroyed the ungodly teaching of the heretics, returning those who had been led astray by error to the path of truth, and confirming the orthodox in the true faith. Concerning this Kirill, the author of the Life of the Saint wrote, "I once left the Lavra of Euthymius the Great and went to the Lavra of St. Sabas of the godly Bishop John the Silent. I was sent by him with a letter to Abba Kyriakus that told of the disturbance caused by the heretics in the holy city. I was also instructed to beseech him to labor in prayer to God that the pride of the leaders of the heresy, Nonnus and Leontius, who held the blasphemous opinions of Verrazian concerning Christ, might be quickly laid low. When I arrived at the monastery of Sukkah, I went to the cave of the venerable Sheridan. After bowing before the blessed Kyriakus, I gave him the letter and told him that I had been instructed to say by the wondrous John the Silent. Then the saint said to me, 'May the one who sent you not sorrow, for the grace of God we shall soon see the destruction of this heresy.' In a like manner, Kyriakus prophesied that Nonnus and Leontius, who held the doctrines of Verrazian, would soon die. He demonstrated to me the foolishness and deception of the Verrazianists, and as he continued his edifying discourse, he told how the harm caused by this heresy and the destruction of those deceived by it had been revealed to him by God. Having learned from our conversation that I was a monk of the Lavra of the great Euthymius, the Blessed One said, 'Brother, you are from the same monastery as I am.' He then began to relate to me many edifying things concerning St. Euthymius. Having thus nourished my soul by his profitable narratives and his sweet discourse, he let me depart in peace. Soon the prophecy of the blessed Kyriakus was fulfilled, for the Hierarchs died suddenly. The power of the heresy was destroyed, and the persecution of the Orthodox ceased. Then Kyriakus, freed from cares, left the cave of the venerable Sheridan, and once more began to dwell in silence in Susakim in the 99th year of his life. He abode in silence there for 8 years, wishing once more to behold the face of the godly one, calmly with holiness, and to enjoy his sweet discourse. I went to the monastery of Sukkah. There I found his disciple John, with whom I went to Susakim to the blessed Kyriakus. As we approached that place, a fearsome lion met us. Seeing that I was terribly afraid, the saint's disciple John said, 'Fear not, brother Kirill. This lion serves our father and does not harm any of the brethren who come to him.' Seeing that we had come to the elder, the lion stepped aside from the way. When Abba Kyriakus saw me, he said, 'Lo, Kirill, who is from my monastery? Who is coming to me?' These words filled me with joy. After praying, we sat down to converse, and his disciple John said to him, 'Father, when brother Kirill saw the lion, he was greatly frightened.' The elder said to me, 'Do not be afraid of the lion, Kirill, my child. He lives with me and guards my little guardian from wild goats. Guards my little garden from wild goats.' He also related to me much concerning the great Euthymius and the other fathers of the desert who had led a life of virtue. Then he ordered that I be fed. As we ate, the lion came and stood before us. The elder rose and gave him a piece of bread and said, 'Go and guard the vegetables.' Then he said to me, 'See, my child, this lion not only guards the garden, but even drives away thieves and barbarians from this place. For many wicked men have come here seeking to do evil, but the lion chased them away. When I heard this, I was amazed and glorified God, who caused even wild beasts to submit like sheep to his servant. I remained with the saint for a day and learned much from him. The next morning he prayed, bestowed on me his blessing, and permitted me to depart in peace, instructing his disciple to escort me. As we left, we encountered the lion lying on the path, devouring a wild goat. We dared not continue along the way past him. However, when he saw us standing there, he left his prey and walked away from the garden we had from the path we had taken. The place where the venerable one dwelt was dry and waterless, and there was no well there. The saint therefore dug a hollow into a rock and collected water in it during the winter. This water sufficed both for his needs and the needs of the vegetable garden throughout the year. Once, however, during the month of July, there was a great drought, and the water collected in the rock dried up. The saint was troubled over the lack of water, and so he raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, saying, O God, who didst provide water for Israel, which thirsted in the wilderness, grant me, who dwell in this desert, the water needed by my wretched body. Immediately a little cloud appeared over Susakim, where he lived, and it rained all around his dwelling, filling the dry hole in the rock. Thus did God quickly fulfill his saint's requests. It would be profitable, says the same Kirill, the author of his life, to relate the following, which Father John, the disciple of the blessed Kyriakos, told me as we walked through the desert. At one point he stopped and said, There is the abode of the Blessed Mary. I asked him to tell me of her, and he began by saying, Some time ago, as I was going with my friend Brother Paramon to Father Kyriakos, we saw a man standing in the distance. Thinking that he was a hermit, we hastened toward him, that we might rever him. As we drew near, he hid himself from us. We were seized with fear and held fast in terror, for we thought that we had seen an evil spirit, and we began to pray. After we had prayed, we looked about and noticed a cave in the earth, and we understood that he was no evil spirit, but a servant of God who had concealed himself from us. We approached the cave and besought him to reveal himself to us for God's sake. The cave, that we be not deprived of his prayers and edifying discourse, and we heard from the cave the following reply, What profit do you think to receive of me? I am a sinful and simple woman. Then she asked us, Where are you going? We replied, We are going to Father Kyriakos the hermit. But tell us, for God's sake, what is your name and what manner of life do you lead? Where are you from and why have you come here? She replied, Go to where you are going, and when you return, I shall tell you. But we refused, and vowed, saying, We will not depart until we learn your name, and you tell us of your life. When she saw we were not going to leave without her first appearing to us from her cave, she began to tell us about herself. My name is Mary, she said, and I was a psalm reader at the holy temple of Christ's resurrection. The devil wounded many through me. I became afraid that I had become the cause of temptation and vile thoughts in others, and that I might add to my own sins. So I prayed to God earnestly to deliver me from sin and temptation. One night, my heart full of compunction and the fear of God, I went to Siloam and filled a vessel with water. I also took a basket of soaked wheat and left the holy city. Entrusting myself to God's help, I departed into the wilderness. God was pleased to lead me here where I have lived for 18 years. By the grace of God, neither the water nor the wheat in the basket have failed me. But I beg you, go now to Father Kyriakos and do what you must do. When you return, visit me, the wretched one. We went to Father Kyriakos and told him all that we had heard from the Blessed Mary. Father Kyriakos marveled and said, Glory to thee, our God, how many are thy saints, not only men but women as well, who labor for thee in secret. Go now, my children, to God's handmaiden, and do whatever she tells you. As we returned from Father Kiriakas, we arrived at the cave of the Blessed Mary, and we cried out thus, O handmaiden of God, Mary, we have come just as you told us to. But there was no reply. We entered the cave and found that she had reposed in the Lord. Her holy body emitted a sweet fragrance, but we had nothing with which to clothe and bury her. We then went to the monastery and brought all things necessary, and having dressed her, we buried her in the cave, sealing the opening with a stone. As Father John told me these things, I marveled at the life of this handmaiden of God, and I resolved to commit it to writing, that those who heard it might be moved to compunction, and that God, who loves mankind and is merciful to them that love him, might be glorified. After relating what he heard from Kiriakas' disciple, John, Kirill, the author of his life, adds the following concerning how, after living for 8 years in Susakin, Kiriakas reposed. The venerable Kiriakas had already reached deep old age and was 107 years old when the fathers of the monastery of Suka took counsel, saying, We must not allow such a holy father to repose outside our monastery. He lives far away, and we will not know the hour of his repose. We will thus be deprived of his final blessing. The monks went to the saint and earnestly entreated him to move closer to the monastery, to the caves of the venerable Chariton, where he had once lived while he struggled with the Arjunas. Finally he consented, and he settled in St. Chariton's cave 2 years before his departure to God. I, the wretched author of his life, frequently visited and comforted him. My soul received much profit from his discourse and was edified by his great struggles, for even though he was aged, he loved labor and was a great struggler. He stood at prayer with fervor and was never found idle, but was always either praying or working. He was accessible at all times, clairvoyant, a good teacher, and firm in the Orthodox faith. In spite of his great age, he was vigorous, his whole body was healthy, and he was full of the Holy Spirit and God's grace. After he had undergone numerous struggles, the Lord was pleased to translate him to the repose of heaven, and so the godly Kiriakas fell into an illness of the body, in which he remained for a few days. He summoned the abbot of the monastery and the brethren, and spoke to them concerning the salvation of their souls. After kissing each one, he blessed them. Then he looked up into heaven, stretched forth his hands, and prayed for all the brethren, surrendering his honorable and holy soul, into the hands of the Lord on the 29th day of the month of September. In all, he lived 109 years. The brethren wept and buried his holy body with fitting psalms and hymns, glorifying God and bringing to remembrance the labors that his servant had performed for many years. May we sinners in the same manner glorify God unto the ages. Amen. On this same day we commemorate the passion of the holy martyrs Dada, Gabadadas, the son of Zaporias, king of Persia, and Cassadoa, the sister of Gabadadas, and the holy martyrs of Byzantium, who suffered at the hands of the Arians, and the venerable Theophanes the Merciful. Please forgive me for not being able to pronounce all the names of these saints correctly. Amen.